Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos is daf Mem Vav. Over the last 2 days, we covered three blot of Gemara, so that's obviously very good. In terms of getting us back to where we need to be, we're on the Mem Dalet Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud, but let's remind one another. Just a quick thank you to the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship. Sponsorship daf will be long lezecher. Let's remind each other. We're coming off of Mishnah on Mem Dalet. The Mishnah described certain scenarios where the child would be a mamzer. If you recall back in the Mishnah, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph said they had the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that if you marry a woman, the Torah says you're not allowed to marry. The example number one, mamzer grushoso. I told you that there's a good mamzer grushoso and a bad one. Good one is where she didn't get married in between. The bad one is where she did get married in between. So where the Mishnah over here, obviously over here, is describing the bad one. So machzer grushoso and nosei chalutzoso, somebody who marries his chalutzo, or someone who marries the relative of a chalutzo. So the Beis Din is going to step in. Beis Din is going to force the get, and the child is going to be a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see over the course of today's daf, is of the opinion that any time the Torah prohibits the marriage, even though there's a chalos, even though the kedushin is effective, but nevertheless, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. That's not the accepted halachic viewpoint. The accepted halachic viewpoint comes in the chachamim omrim, back to the Mishnah, and of a mamzer, that the child is not going to be a mamzer. When would the child be a mamzer? So that's the next line of the Mishnah. Mod menosei kruvas grushoso, shad v'lad mamzer. A man marries a relative of his grusha. Grusha means that divorcee, meaning that they were married. So that means that her relatives to him is going to be an erva. So a man has a child with an erva. I say marry an erva. There's no marriage. There's no treisus kedushin. We're going to see that in the course of today's daf. But the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Fine. We went through yesterday just understanding Rabbi Akiva, krovas chalutzasto, marrying the relative of your chalutza. As we pointed out in the previous Gemara, it's not Issa D'Oraisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. How can the resulting child be a mamzer according to Rabbi Akiva? We know Rabbi Akiva has a more stringent viewpoint in terms of what produces a mamzer, but the idea of krovas chalutzaso, that's very difficult to understand. So the Gemara says, there's a chiddush on the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that according to Rabbi Akiva, the chalutza is not an Issa, the krova chalutza is not an Issa D'Rabbanan, but rather an Issa D'Oraisa, a shita that's unique to Rabbi Akiva. Okay. If you take a look now on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, we did this yesterday, but let's just run through the three questions again. The three questions that the Gemara asks goes to is based on a Gemara towards the top of the Amud. So we're going to go all the way back to the top of the Amud, where Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, that by Machzer Grushoso, the child is going to be Pugim L'Kahuna. So in other words, we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. The child is not going to be a mamzer. Fine. But what we do say, however, is that when you have a union, a child that comes out of a result of a union which the Torah prohibits, the child is going to be pugum. Pugum means what? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says the top Rashi in Mem Dalet Beis, v'im yalda bas psula l'kahuna k'chalala. We're going to treat this child like a chalala. Chalala is a girl who is desanctified. In other words, the word halal literally means hollow, meaning the kedusha kind of is like just taken right out of her. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. She's allowed to marry a Jew, but she's not allowed to marry a Yisrael, but she's not allowed to marry a kohen. This child coming from a prohibited union, a Torah prohibited union, is going to have that same status. That's the Gemara on the top of the page. Now, let's just quickly run from the top. We did this yesterday, but I'm just going to run through it quickly. So the Gemara says, now it's true. Shimon HaTimni is of the opinion that the child is not a mamzer, but not totally untainted. There will be a small tainting of the child, and that comes in the result of the child being what the Gemara here describes as pogam, meaning cannot marry a kohen. The Gemara says, look, how do I know that? You're not going to find this in the pasuk in the Torah, but we could develop a kavachomer. And the kavachomer goes like this. So the Gemara says, look at the kavachomer. It runs as follows. We know that if an almana marries a kohen gadol, which is a prohibition, unique to the almana. This is an extraordinarily limited issur in the Torah. It only applies to one person, and that's the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol cannot marry an Almana. A regular Kohen is allowed to marry an Almana. And yet we know that the resulting child is a Chalala. So this union, which is a general prohibition, this union of Machzor Grushaso, every Jew is not allowed to marry his Grusha once she marries somebody else. So if a Kohen Gadol to an Almana result yields a Pogom, a Chalala, so to over here, this also will yield a Chalala as well. So the Gemara says, Ikla Mefrach Ma. So the Gemara says, look, Kavachomer, logical argument, wonderful. However, it's an argument. And the Gemara points out, I have three questions that we can ask. So let's run through the three questions again. Mala Amana Shekeni Yatzma Mischalala. Question number one, how can you compare? Meaning when a Kohen Gadol has relations with an Almana, yes, the resulting child is a Chalala. But you know what also happens? The woman herself who had relations with the Kohen Gadol, this Amana, this widow, she becomes a Chalala, just through the act of bias, just through the act of relations. So how can you then compare Machzor Grushaso? Machzor Grushaso, the woman herself is not affected. Her status is not affected. She violated Nisa in the Torah, granted. But her status is unaffected. So how can I compare the two cases? Question number two, the Ode. Hito Evoksiv, Ein Baneto of him. Question number two is that when the Torah describes Machzor Grushaso, the Torah goes out of its way to say she is an abomination, meaning that for her it's a terrible act. The child, however, in other words, how do we know that we're excluding? Because the word he is an exclusionary term. It's always an exclusionary term. The child is going to be unaffected. That's what the Torah seems to indicate. Again, the Torah doesn't say that, but the Torah does use exclusionary terminology. And finally, question number three, Tanya. And finally, the third question, not really a question, it's kind of just a quarter brisa, but the brisa reads, Hamachzor Grushaso v'anoseh chalutzaso v'anoseh kruvas chalutzaso, Rabbi Kiva Omer ein lo ba'kidushin, ve'ein etzricha himenu ged, v'hi psula uvlad apostle. If you have a prohibition between a man and a woman, so the resulting, there's no kidushin, there's no get requirement, she's disqualified, the child is disqualified, the kofenosel otzi, and we force a divorce, a separation between the two. V'chachamim omrim, yesh lo bakidushin, tzricha himenu get. No, if it's a lav in the Torah, that means that there was kidushin, that means that there's a get requirement. V'hikshera uvlada kosher. She's kosher, meaning even though she violated a lav, she's kosher, and the child's going to be kosher as well. So, we have now three outstanding questions against this opinion. The opinion that we set forth right now is that when you have a man who marries Machzor Grushaso, who marries his Grusha, his divorcee, after she went to marry somebody else. So, and obviously, she divorced that second guy. But still, the Torah prohibits him from taking her back as a wife. So we have three questions. Question number one, how can you compare to a Kohen Gadol to an Almana, where the Almana herself becomes defiled, desecrated? Number two, we have the terminology of he toeva vein banatoavim. And question number three, we have a brisa that seems to give the indication that the child is totally kasha, perfectly legitimate, with no psul whatsoever. So the Gemara now is going to attempt to answer all three questions. So Laman. Well, I'm sorry, before... So Laman. Lavla kahuna. So the Gemara says, presumably when the brisa says kasha, it means this child can marry anyone he wants or anyone she wants, including a Kohen. So the Gemara says, lo lakal. The Gemara says, no. What it means is that the child's not a mamzer. It means that the child can marry a Yisrael, but the child cannot marry a Kohen. So, e hachi hikshe laman. So the Gemara says, well, that's very difficult to imagine, because in that same brace it says, she's kshera. Now, what does that mean? Elam lakal pshita. Gemara says, now, you want to tell me that the brace is giving us a big chiddush, and that is she violated law in the Torah, she could still marry a Jew. That's a no-brainer. So she committed znus. She had an illicit relations. Okay, but that's not going to make her apostle a kal. That's not going to disqualify her to the Jewish population. So I love the kahuna. So the Gemara says, it means therefore, the Bryce has got to be giving us a chiddush. It means therefore that she's still qualified to marry Cohen. And so therefore, If the topic of discussion regarding her is her eligibility to kahuna, must be the same thing is true regarding her child as well. Her child is eligible to kahuna. Gemara says that's not necessarily so. Midi'iria. Hakadisa v'hakadisa. No. It could be that regarding her, we're talking about her eligibility to kahuna. Regarding the child, we're talking about the child's eligibility only to marry a Yisrael. Hachinami Mistab, and the Gemara says, now, if we spent a moment thinking about it some more, we'd realize that's correct. Diktani Resha, he psula vlad apostle. Because, go back to the first part of the Braisa, meaning the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, he psula man, when it says that she's disqualified. Ilem lakal mishim dizanya apostle, le lakal, and again, the question, it can't be. Can't possibly be that she performs nus. She had an illicit relations. That's not going to change her status. She's not going to turn into a mamzeres. That's not how mamzeres works. You're born a mamzeres. You don't turn into a mamzeres. So I love the kahuna. So clearly, when it says that she's pasul, it means she can't marry a kohen. And vlad pasul. Now the Gemara says now regarding the child. Again, this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean? The child is pasul. Laman ilam lekahuna lekal kasher hamar Rabbi Akiva vla mamzer. We know that according to Rabbi Akiva, the product of such a union is a mamzer. So elapshita lekahal. So obviously when Rabbi Akiva is talking about the child, he's talking about the eligibility to the kahal. So you see, in the first part of the braisa, meaning under the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, there were two different topics of discussion. It was the child's eligibility to the congregation, and it was the mother's eligibility to kohen. So umedereisha akidisa vekidisa sefanami akidisa vakidisa. So when studying the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, we know that there are two different topics of discussion. So when discussing the opinion of the Chachamim, the conclusion could be exactly the same. So as far as the Brice is concerned, the Gemara says the Brice is not such a question. Two, going backwards now, going back to question number two. He toeva nami, he toeva vein tsarasa toeva. As far as the exclusionary terminology of he, you're right. The Torah does describe this act and specifically her as an abomination. And it means that somebody connected to her is not. We assumed it was the child. The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe it's talking about her co-wife. She's an abomination. You can't do yibum to her. Meaning if your brother died and he died childless and he left two widows and one of those widows was machzer grushaso. So the child. The woman in question, you can't do the mitzvah of Yibam to, but you can go to the co-wife, and the co-wife would be perfectly eligible. Okay, that's the, excuse me, that's the, so that's what the he means in the context of the pasuk. Ella, but now we go back to question number one. Question number one was a difficult question. What was question number one? A comparison, a kavachomer, between the case of Machzer Grushoso and the case of a kohen gadol to a halal, to an almana. And the question was, how can you compare the two? When the kohen gadol has relations with an almana, her status changes. She becomes a halala through that act of relations. How can you compare that to Machzer Grushoso, where the woman in question doesn't have a status change? So the Gemara says, Amana kasha. So the Gemara says, that's difficult. Mala amana shekein hi atzma mischalalas. Ela I itmar achi itmar. So the Gemara says, okay, that was a lot of work on the part of the Gemara, but really with no success. Meaning, we had three questions. We answered question number three. We answered question number two. But question number one is unanswerable. The kavachomer from the very inception is not a good kavachomer. So I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Shimon Rebbe, I'll come out to Mabal Chavi Krisus, Shavlad Pogum. Okay, so the Gemara says we're going to have to reformulate the original statement altogether. And that is that HaKomodim, everyone agrees that when a man has relations with Chai Vikrisus, the resulting child is going to be Pogum. Right? What? What? Right. Right. Isn't that... Thank you. So isn't that a mamzer? What's the Gemara talking about? So the Gemara now is going to explain. So mana komodim. So first of all, don't get thrown off by this terminology of HaKomodim. We're going to see this terminology a number of times today. HaKomodim just simply means somebody who you wouldn't have thought took that position, takes that position. Hakol doesn't mean everybody, clearly. So in this context, who are we talking about? Who is Hakomodim? So Rabbi Yoshua, so the Gemara says, the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, da'afakav nam Rabbi Yoshua in mamzer mechayv Christos, Rabbi Yoshua is of the opinion that a mamzer is not the product of the union of an Isser Christos, but rather, how do you create a mamzer according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's chayve misus bezdin. It has to be where the union is prohibited in the Torah with a punishment of capital punishment. That and only that produces a mamzer. So just quickly to summarize, how do you make a mamzer? I don't ask that question, you know, with positive with a positive tone, but how is a mamzer created? So there are three basic opinions. We'll go from minakala alachomer, or I guess we can go with the other, right? From minachomer alakal, right? So we have first the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, any time the union is prohibited in the Torah, it's an isser lav, yet the child is going to be a mamzer. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. We don't go like that. The middle Shita, Chayve Krisus, meaning anytime the product of the union is prohibited through an Issar Karetz, meaning it's listed in Parshas Achrimos, in Parshas Kedoshim, so then the child is a mamzer. And the most, I guess, Kal Shita, we can call it Kal. Yeah, because it'll yield the least amount of mamzerim. And then the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, which is that, no, the prohibition between the man and the woman has to be a capital crime. Okay, a man with his mother-in-law, right? Chamosa. So that, Eishes Ish. But it has to be a capital crime. It can't be just simply an Issar Krisus. In terms of the sources of their opinions, the Gemara is not going to go through right now, but the Gemara says that's what we mean. So, Nehi de Mamzer lo Avi, so according to Rav Yoshua, so a man has relations with a Chayve Krisus. A man has relations with a sister. Okay? It's not a capital crime, not capital punishment. It's an Issar Krisus. So, it's true, according to Rav Yoshua, the child is not a mamzer, but nehi de mamzer lo havi pogam yahavi, but the child will be pogam. And now we could say it, kal v'chomer mi'almana. Now we have a kal v'chomer. Now ma'amana kol ngadol sheni sur shava b'chol pogam. I'm sorry, b'na pogam zushi sur shava b'chol. In addition, b'na pogam. Wonderful. I mean, wonderful. The kal v'chomer is good, meaning the logic is good. The logic is that you have a Kohen Gadol to an Amana, and it's a very limited Isser applying to only one man of the Jewish people, the Kohen Gadol, and yet the resulting child is going to be a Pogum, a Chalala. So too, in this union where the Torah prohibits it, through an Isser Kares, the resulting child is going to be a Pogum. So Mala Amana Shekein Hi Atzma Mischalala Sachana Mikem Shabala Asa Zona. Excuse me. So, and what about the question that we asked previously? How can you compare the two? In this context, it's not a question, it's a fact. You can compare the two. Because when a Kohen Gadol has relations with the Amana, she herself becomes a Chalala. Same thing is true over here. When a man has relations with a woman who the Torah prohibits through an Issar Kares, she herself now goes through a status change as well. She now is what is called a Zona, meaning not in the colloquial term, Not in the pejorative term. In a status term, she now has the status of a zona. A Kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. She now has the status of a zona, and consequently, her status actually undergoes a change. So her status undergoes a change, and her child, the resulting child, is going to be a pogrom. Mind you, by the way, just make sure that we have all this framed properly. We're discussing within the shita of Rabbi Yoshua, who says that the resulting child is not going to be a mamzer. We don't halachically side with Rabbi Yoshua. We side with Shimon HaTimni, that the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. But at least within the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, we can now understand, and it logically works, how the resulting child is in fact going to be a pogrom. Okay. Period. That for the moment is going to close our discussion on mamzerus. Well, it's funny, I say that, and immediately we're going to turn to another case of mamzer. But we're talking about now relations between Jew and Jew, and the resulting child being a mamzer.
The middle one is accepted.
We go with the middle position. Not Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Yoshua, but the Shimon HaTimni.
Is the Gemara here implying that the only way this woman can become a zona is through a relationship of Chayv Karis?
That's what the Gemara is saying. Yeah, well, correct. Correct. Right, correct. The woman will be a zona. Okay. Amar Rabba Baruchanam Rav Yochanan. We are on the bottom of Mem Dalamud Beis. Hakomodim Be'avidav Ovedikor Chavam Ba'abas Yisrael Shavla Mamzer. Again, that terminology of Hakomodim, and don't get thrown off. It doesn't mean everybody. It means somebody who you wouldn't have suspected agrees to this position does in fact agree to this position. What position? That if a non-Jewish man or an Eved has relations with a Bas Yisrael, with a Jewish woman, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Okay? The entire daf of Mem Hei is going to be discussing this very topic. So we are so far away from concluding on the matter. But right now, the opening statement of the discussion is that a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman having a child, the child is a mamzer, and Rav Yochanan says, ha-klamodim, everyone agrees. And again, not everybody, but ma-na-klamodim, that's what Gemara wants to know. Who are we talking about? Shimon HaTimni. It's talking about Shimon HaTimni, the Avagav, the Amr, Shimon HaTimni, and mamzer mechayev lavin. Now, it's true. Shimon HaTimni doesn't go all the way to Rabbi Kiva's side that it has to be an Isser Lav to create a mamzer, but mechayev lavin, the Tafsi B'Kedushin. Yet, the chayve, what is the defining characteristic of chayve lavin? The marriage works. Even though the Torah prohibits the marriage nevertheless works. If a kohen were to marry a grusha, Torah says don't do it, but it works. I know that's strange. I know that it takes... It takes a lot of digestion to understand that. I don't know if I do understand it, but it doesn't matter. I understand it, don't understand it, but that's the fact. The facts on the ground is that such a marriage, in fact, works. And because the marriage works, therefore the resulting child is not going to be a mamzer. So, Shimon HaTimni says, now take that very idea, and now it's translated to a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman. Is there Tfisas Kedushin? No. Now, if you think about it for just more than a moment, when it comes to a non-Jewish man, there's no Tfisas Kedushin with any Jew. So they're not the same, but that doesn't matter for the time being. The point being is that as long as there's no ability for Tfisas Kedushin, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Meisvei the Gemara challenges, mamzer. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa asks, first the opinion of the Tanakhama, that the resulting child between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman is a mamzer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, ein mamzer ela mimish isur isur erva v'enoshkaris. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, no, that a mamzer only comes from the result of a isur karis, period. And a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman is not an isur karis. It's fair to ask me. It's fair to ask anybody, but I guess being that I'm the Magachir right now, it's fair to ask me, what is the prohibition of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman having relations and having a form of union? Now again, when we say union, we understand the Torah does not recognize the marriage. The marriage just simply does not exist. What's the Isser in the Torah in terms of that union? Meaning, unlike a married woman, Ashes Ish, the Torah prohibits that. Unlike Arayas, the Torah prohibits them. Where does the Torah describe such a union and the acceptability versus the prohibited nature of such a union? You know what the answer is going to be. No? The Torah doesn't... There's no prohibition in the Torah per se. Meaning the Torah doesn't recognize the marriage, but to say it's an Isser, it's not a capital crime. Now, mind you, when I say it's not a capital crime...
What about the idea that you said a while ago that
Oh, that right. That's a concern. We're right now. I'm dealing with a fundamental issue in terms of what is the actual Isser involved in a non-Jewish man with a Jewish woman, or you know, obviously the opposite as well.
There is no
love in the Torah. The Torah doesn't acknowledge it as a marriage. It's not a marriage. And what we're going to be discussing over the course of entirety of Daf Mem Hei is, what is the status of that child? We'll talk about that. Will be today's topic. I'm just asking the question. Such a basic question. Is that a Torah prohibition? It's not an Isser Karis. It's not a capital crime. Is it even a lav? So you remember so I said it's not a capital crime. So, which I'm right about. It's not a capital crime. But we can modify that statement just a little bit. Pinchas, right? Yeah. Right, Bol Aramis. So, Kanaim Pogimbo. So, there certainly is a nature of when you could take the law into your hand and execute. In other words, and execute capital punishment. But that's only if it's done in public. Privately, but sin off if it's done privately. So. The way the Gemara describes it elsewhere, not here, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, is that it's a old Isur Darabanan. When I say old, I mean it goes back, the Gemara elsewhere says, it goes back to the Yeshiva of Shame, meaning that it's a Gzeirah Darabanan. It's a rabbinic decree.
What about the plague that the Jews got when they were going to the
Midianite? Right. So, and Moshe got very angry. But again, sorry about my voice. We're having a legal discussion. In the legal discussion, you have to cite where the Torah says it is prohibited. You're just not going to find it.
Maybe it's in the rabbi's definition of what creates zanus. That the zanus is in how we're interpreting the word zanus.
Right, but it doesn't. Whatever our interpretation of zanus is not. It doesn't speak to the point that we're talking about right now, where that when a man has relations with a married woman, the Torah says that's prohibited. It's one of the ten, one of the Asar Sedibros. When the man has relations with a family member, that's Erva, that's Arayus.
Right.
Good. When a man has relations with a non-Jewish woman, or vice versa. Meaning, what is that?
The nature of prohibition against marrying them is like...
You can never get there's married. Not a prohibition of not marrying them.
But hold on.
Yeah.
So in Erva, you can never get married. But to a non-Jew, there's a possibility that it could convert and the
all right, fine, but once they convert...
There, so.
No. Once they convert, they're born again. We saw that. The Gemara used that terminology earlier. Their conversion makes them a totally new entity.
What about the fact that Hashem says don't take the daughters and don't intermarry with the...
Lotis chatem bam.
Right, yeah, when you go to the land.
Right.
So why not? That's not
allowed. It doesn't, right, it just, that means that there is no chas, there is no, the Torah is not prohibiting the marriage, the Torah is just simply saying there is no marriage. The Torah doesn't acknowledge it, the Torah doesn't recognize it. They live together, but it's not a union. It's not a legally accepted union. Okay, so now that you hear that, now you're understanding, now we're all understanding the nature of the Chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara is suggesting now that because there's no union, because there's no Kiddushin, because there's no legally recognized marriage, the child therefore is going to be a mamzer, just like Arayus. Meaning, what is the nature of Arayus? The nature of Arayus is such that if a man tries to marry a married woman, there's no Kiddushin. There's no Tfisas Kiddushin, therefore the child is a mamzer. So to which the Gemara says, all that would have been fine. I could have heard that. The problem is we have a Braisa. The Braisa says very clearly that according to the Tanakhama, the child's a mamzer. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the end of the Braisa, the child is not a mamzer. Because a mamzer is only yielded from an Issa Erva, which is not the case for a Jewish, for a non-Jewish man, a Jewish woman. So the Gemara says, Alam Rav Yosef, Manakom Modim, Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to modify our statement. So HaKol Modim is a reference to Rebbe. Afagav de Rebbe, Omein Adver Malalo, Omein Amor Melodiv Rebbe, Kivashay Yosef, Chalutza Kerva, Valelo Sfirale. So it's true that Rebbe does not adopt the position of Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva, as we said yesterday, in the beginning of today's shir, Rebbe Akiva says that a Chalutza is an Issa Daraisa, and the Krovas Chalutza is an Issa Daraisa. And according to Rebbe Akiva, the resulting child is going to be a mamzer. Rebbe does not side with that position. Rebbe sides with the accepted halachic position, which is it has to be an Isser Erva to create a mamzer. But Ha'ove Kocham Eved Modeh. But when it comes to Ha'ove Kocham and an Eved, even Rebbe is going to be Modeh. Dechias Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yisrael of Dumi Bishum Rabbeinu, quoting in the name of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu over here in our context means Rebbe. Ha'ove Kocham Eved Ababas Yisrael Mamzer. Rebbe is of the position that if the father is a non-Jew and the mother is Jew, the child is a mamzer. Rabbi Acha, Sarabi of Rabbi Tanchum, Bered Rabbi Chia, Ish Kfar Akko, Prok Hanu Shuvyasa. Gemara tells a story about various Amorayim, two Amorayim, who redeemed captive women, to Asum Eramon, Litzveria, Havachada de Abram, Elva Kochamim. And unfortunately, one of the women were impregnated by her captors. And the captor obviously was a non-Jew. But also coming to Rabbi Ami, and they went to Rabbi Ami. And now the question obviously is a very serious one. This child that she's going to have was not her doing. She wasn't even a willing participant. But in terms of mamzeres, unfortunately, it does not matter. The question on the table now is, what is the status of that child? So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Chanina, Dami, Ovi Kochamev, Rabbi Abbas, Yisrael, Vla Mamzer. So he says, look, here's what I know. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Chanina, Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, they all agree that the child is going to be a mamzer, so therefore when turned to Ravami, Ravami says the child's going to be a mamzer.
What about Shmuel?
Give me a moment. I'm Rav Yosef, Rabu Salamech Shav Gavre. So Rav Yosef says, okay, I'm impressed, but I'm not. What you did is you collected a series of Amoraim who all say that the child is a mamzer. But fine, those are opinions. Not discrediting, not discarding, but those are opinions. Rabusa lemichshev gavre, is it a big deal to just simply put people together? Meaning, okay, you have opinions. But ha rabu shma bababa, Rav Yeshua ben Malevi barka bar b'Eretz Yisrael. But in the meantime, I can cite Rav and Shmuel in Bavel. I can cite Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Bar Kapar in Eretz Yisrael. V'amri la chalufi Bar Kapar v'ayla zikne darom. Now some have a tradition where it wasn't Bar Kapara who was given credit for this, but it was the elders of the south. We've talked about them on other occasions. And they're of the opinion that if a non-Jewish man has relations with a Jewish woman and she gets pregnant, the child is kosher. Elam Rav Yosef Rebihi. So, Rav Yosef says it is Rebbe. Dechias Rav Dim Amr Rav Yisrael Bar Avdu Mimisham Rabbeinu Amru Ove Kocham Ve'Eved Abba Bas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. That Rebbe's of the opinion that the child is going to be a mamzer. Fine, that's Rebbe's opinion. But I can cite a number of Amorim who disagree. Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Omer Avlad Mekukal. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is of the opinion that the child is mikukal. Now that literally means damaged goods. What does that mean? So laman.
Right.
Now we know that Rabbi Yeshua, we just quoted him a moment ago, says that the child is a kosher. So alel kahuna, it means that kemeri kohen. So basically, the answer is there's no difference. Just another way of saying it. Dekula amarai demachshuru modesh avlad pagum lekahuna, because everyone who says that the child is kosher, meaning we just quoted, we have two camps over here in terms of what is the child. On one side we have Rav Yochanan in a constituency of Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael. On the other side we have Rav Shmuel Bar Kapar, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Ziknei Darum, who say that the child is kosher. And the Gemara now is acknowledging even those who say that the child is kosher, but kosher meaning allowed to marry another Jew, but cannot marry Cohen.
Wasn't Bar Kapar a student of Rav
I'm sorry, just give me a moment. So the Gemara says, and we can generate it through a Kavachomer. Again, the Kavachomer from Kohen Gadol and Amana. We keep going back to this Kavachomer, but for a very simple reason. Because that's the source in the Torah that describes what happens when a man has relations with a woman that he's not allowed to have relations with. The resulting child is going to be a Chalala. And so in that scenario where it's a very limited Isser, and very limited because it only affects one Jew, which is the Kohen Gadol, and yet the resulting child is going to be Asur LeKohuna, so too, this resulting child, even though we say that the child is kosher, but nevertheless, B'na Pogam, the child cannot marry Kohen. Again, the Gemara is going to say, what kind of Kavachomer is this? Mala Mana Kohen Gadol, Shekein Hi Atzma Mischalalas. So the Gemara says, you know, when that widow has relations with the Kohen Gadol, her status changes. So the Gemara says, same thing over here. A Jewish woman having relations with a non-Jewish man, her status changes. She now herself becomes disqualified. She can no longer marry a Kohen. Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimma Minayin Lavi Kocham Le'Evin Haba Al Kohenes Al Levia Al Yisraelis Ship Pasluha. Her status now is changed. And now Rabbi Cohen Kisiya Amana Grusha Mishleishal Amanus Vigerishin Ba. A woman, a Bas Cohen, who was legitimately married, somebody who has a marriage with her, meaning another Jew. However, Yasu Avi Kocham Ve'Avishin Lahem Amanus Vigerishin Ba. But if a non-Jew who has no Tfisas Kedushin has relations with a Jewish woman, can't say marriage because it's no marriage, but has relations with a Jewish woman, the resulting child. But we're saying more than that. She herself goes through a status change. And what is her status change? She's a chalala. More technically, she's a zona, and therefore she can't marry a Kohen. So therefore, the resulting child, even those who say that the child is kosher, it means the child is kosher l'kahuna. Sorry, let me say that correctly. The resulting child is kosher for Yisrael, for the klal, but can't marry a Kohen. But that's all true. But that's all. That's pre. Right. That's pre Sinai. So, the right. I don't know if it's going to impact our discussion. Okay, we're right now in the middle of Mem Hei. We're right now starting with the words Amar Le'Abaye. So, going all the way back to the opinion of Rav Yosef. But again, right now we are in the middle of a discussion in the Gemara, a very serious discussion in the Gemara, and unfortunately, right, we live this here and. In our day and age, but when you have a union between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, what is the resulting child? So you have basically two camps of thought in the Gemara. You have that the child is either A, a mamzer, or B, kosher. But with even within the opinion of kosher, maybe kosher but can't marry a Kohen. I'll get back to that later on, and I'll give you the bottom line later on. Amar Le Abaye Mai Chazista Smacha de Rav Dimi Smacha de Ravin. So the Gemara says, look, we have two Amorayim, frequent flyer Amorayim, Rav Dimi and Ravin, and Dechias the Ravin. Now Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Yehuda, Nassim Morim, Balei Tera. So Rabbi, he says that Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yehuda Nassi were Makel. Now we had a couple lines earlier, Rabbi being Machmir. Uman Rabbi Yehuda Nassi, Rabbi. And of course, it's so funny, like as if we didn't know this. And by the way, you know who Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is? He's Rabbi. Okay. The Av Rav Moreh Bahatera. And Rav also was Mekel. Da'awasala kamed Rav Amar Le. So a person came in front of Rav and he said to him, Abikocha me'avad ababas Yisrael ma'hu. Amar lo avla kasher. And Rav's ruling is that the child is kasher. So the story's not going to end well. Just preparing everybody. Amar Le havli bartech. So the man says, good. Because you know who I was asking about. You know, you're asking about a friend. You're asking about a neighbor. I was asking about myself. Oh, good, good. So my status is that I'm kosher. Good. So the man says, with obviously an element of chutzpah, so I'd like to marry your daughter, Rav. So, lo yavin alach. So Rav's response is, no. Look, you asked me a question. I gave you an answer. That doesn't mean I have to give you my daughter. Amr shimi barchil Rav. Amr inshi gamla bimidi. Sorry. Gamla b'madai akavar akada. So Rashimi Barchia says to Rav, you know, there's an age-old expression, and this one's great. There's an age-old expression, which is, you know what happens in Madai? I can have a camel dancing within a small container. Meaning you could tell the wildest stories you want from faraway places because they're wild and they're great and people love to hear them. But are they true? Hakava, v'hagamala, v'hamadai, v'lorakada. But meanwhile, take the story and let's see. Get a camel, get a kav, get like a little box, get madai, meaning let's all travel a madai, and are you going to see any dancing going on? No, people tell stories, but they're not true. So Amar Leh, and the point he was making to Rav is, and this also sounds a little bit chutzpahdik, but look, yeah, in other words, it's wonderful. You want to tell them that the product of a non-Jewish man, a Jewish woman, is that the product of the child is kosher. So it sounds like you're telling a wild story. And the reason why it sounds that way is because then when he asks for your daughter, you're saying no. Meaning it sounds as if you're telling a wild story, but you don't really believe what you're even saying. So inehavi ke Yeshua benon lo yavin lebarti. So Rav says, I don't care if he was Yeshua ben Nun. I'm not going to give my daughter. So Amar Leh, so this man says to Rav, Ihavik Yeshua ben Nun, Imar lo Yahiv Leh, Achrini Yahiv Leh. So the man seems to make a very good point to Rav. Look, if I were Yeshua ben Nun, I wouldn't have Shidduchim problems. Right? You wouldn't give me a daughter, but you know, obviously somebody else would. But I, Imar lo Yahiv Leh, Achrini lo Yahiv Leh. But, look, right now my status is questionable. And I'm asking the question. I want to know, can I marry what's my status? Am I kosher or am I not kosher? Father's a non-Jew, mother's a Jew. What's my status? And if my status is questionable, and you don't give me your daughter, well, who's going to give me their daughter? So, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the story doesn't end well. Lo hava ka'azo mikame. this person wouldn't budge from Rav. Okay. And Yai Be'ene V'Shachiv. So Rav gives him the eye, and you've been long enough in the daf, you know what happens. So right, that Rav gives him the eye and Shachiv, and he lays to rest. Okay, now I'm gonna just be a spectator to this. Rav certainly was not obligated to give his daughter. I mean that's clear. I mean there was no need for that. The man made some points, but I guess the tone, the chutzpah. Okay, but obviously.
His hesitation was because of the fact that the lineage, or because of the chutzpah and the fact that he wasn't.
Right. That right. I'd have to judge, and I'm not gonna.
You don't like the other guy, the chutzpah.
Right. The guy. Right. Right. The tone certainly was. I think the lack of kavod harav. Okay. V'afrav masta mor balei tera, v'afrav yehuda mor balei tera. And the Gemara says, and other Amoraim were also matir. So we have now Rav being matir. We have one version of Rebbe being matir. Right? That was Ravin's version. And now we have Rav Yehuda, and we have Rav Masna. Right. Well, I understand that, but we also know. I mean, go back to the middle of the Amud. We also know that Shmuel was Mako.
Okay. No, but she's like a prime example.
Okay, fair. That's fair. The chiyas zil itmar onastiv bas minach. They go to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda gives such an interesting psak. He says, you know, chi itmar, go hide yourself. Meaning, go somewhere where people don't know you, blend into the community, and you can marry a Jew. Meaning, I know this is going to be hard to hear, but it's a very controversial psak, clearly. A lot of Amoraim, the Gemara quoted in the earlier, a lot of Amoraim said that the child is not a kasher. A lot of Amoraim said the child is a mamzer. So look, Rav, we're going back to the beginning of where we obviously work with the assumption nowadays, I'm giving away the ending of the whole Gemara, that the child is kasher. Okay. With an ability to marry Cohen, I'll come back to that later. But we know that the child is kasher. But we're going back now to where, a time and when, not every Amora felt that way. So when Rav Yehuda is turning to a guy and saying, look, as far as I'm concerned, you're kasher. But I know people are still going to be reluctant to marry you because your father was a non-Jew. So what I'm telling you is that 100% you're good, but in order to get married, you're going to have to move somewhere where people don't know you and blend in with the community. Okay, the chiyas lekamid Rava Amar le O Gali O Nasiv Bas Minach, and Rava said the same thing: exile yourself, go somewhere where people don't know you, and then you'll be able to marry, or you're gonna have to marry somebody who's like you. But my opinion is kosher, but Shalchule Bnei Bar Mechse le Rava Mishechesu Ave Vechesu Ben Chorin Abba Bas Yisrael Mahu. Gemara now asks the classic question of okay. I now know that an Eved who has relations with a Jewish woman, the child is not a mamzer. What if it's the chatzi-chatzi? Like we said time and again, you had two owners of the Eved Kanani. One freed him, the other didn't. So the one who freed him now, his emancipation brings him to the point of being full-fledged Jew. But that was only the 50% ownership group. The other 50% ownership group still retained ownership of him, so he's a chetzi chetzi. What if he has relations with a Jewish woman? What is the result of that child? So the Gemara says, no brainer. If a full Eved has relations with a Jewish woman and the child is kosher, he's already halfway there. He's halfway Jewish. Sounds like a no brainer. I'm Rav Yosef, Mar Dishmaita Manu. So who was the author of the statement? Top of Memheim and Beis, Rav Yehuda, V'am Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, now, I'll tell you that I know the following. Rav Yehuda says, Misha Chatzi Aviv, Chatzi Ben Chorin, Abba Bas Yisrael, Osof Lat, Ein Lo Takana. That a Chatzi Chatzi that has relations with a Jewish woman, the child, Ein Lo Takana, has no way to correct himself. Rashi, third line down, Klomer Mamzerhu. The child is a mamzer. Now, how does that work? Meaning, if the man would have been a full Eved, child would have been kosher. Now, if Yachatzi Chatzi, the child is going to be a mamzer? How do we understand that? Kidma de Rav Yehuda Kagon. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how to understand that. Rav Yehuda was talking about a specific scenario in which the Kaddish Bas Yisrael, the Nimzat Sad Avda Shaba Mishtamish Be'eshes Ish. So Rav Yehuda was talking about a specific scenario that he was Mekadesh Bas Yisrael. He tried to affect Kedushim with a Jewish woman, and here's the problem. The problem now is she is partially Mekudeshes. There's a side to him which is a Jew. And now the Kaddish Bas Yisrael, the Nimzat Sad Avda Shaba Mishtamish Be'eshes Ish. And now what is she? She's a married woman. The army now and Mish made the Rav Yaakov of Divrei Apostle Afilu Bepnuya, the Divrei Amachshir Machshir Afilu Be'eshes Ish. And then the Gemara goes into a very interesting discussion. Look, the one who says Apostle, meaning that the child is a mamzer, that would be true if even if she were a single woman, because again, the one who says Pasul looks at the fact that there's no Tfisas Kedushin. So fine, the child is going to be Pasul. And the one who says Kasher even takes that position, even if she were an Eshes Ish. Ushnem Lalamdu, Alam Eshes Av. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Because man, the Pasul Sav Ramah Eshes Av, the Lo Tafsiba Kedushin of Lam Mamzer. Av Kol, the Lo Tafsiba Kedushin of Lam Mamzer. Those who are in the Mamzer camp, meaning that the resulting child is a Mamzer, they simply look at, can you affect a marriage with such a woman? If yes, then the child is not a mamzer. If no, the child is a mamzer. And so a non-Jew or an Eved can't affect marriage, therefore the child is going to be a mamzer. Oman de machshir sav ramai shes av dili dide lo tafsi bekedushin lachrin tafsi bekedushin. La fuge av kacham eved lo tafsi bekedushin klal. So the Gemara says, but those who are not in the mamzer camp, those who are in the kasher camp, they make the following distinction. In the case of Eshes Av, the wife's father, here there's no Kedushin, but he could affect Kedushin with others. Masha Enkin, when it comes to an Eved or a non-Jew, they can't affect Kedushin at all. So they're a totally different category. And therefore the resulting child is not going to be a mamzer. And that would be true even if she were a married woman. So now let's go back. Let's try to understand. So we have a Chatzi Chatzi. And with a Jewish woman. And Rav Yehuda is quoted as saying the child is a mamzer. But that can't be, because we just established that those who are in the kasher camp will say that the child is kasher even if the woman is married. So Alakid Mad Rav Yehuda Kigon Shabbal Eshes Ish V'Nimtzat Tzad Cheres Shabbat Mishtamish Be'eshes Ish. The Gemara says he didn't affect Kedushin with her, another Jew did, i.e. she's a married woman. Now we understand. The Chatzi Chatzi that has relations with her is going to produce a mamzer. Why? Because the Chatzi Chatzi is part Jew. Oh, now we understand. The part Jew of him is having relations with a married woman. Right. That's why the child is a mamzer. Okay, let's conclude. I'm Ravina, I'm early Rav Gaza, Ikla Rav Yossi Bar Avin Lasrei, Vavuv de Bipnuya. There was an incident with a non-married woman who had relations with a non-Jewish man. Sorry. With a Jewish woman who had relations with a non-Jewish man. Va'achshir said the child is fine. Be'eshes Ish Upasal. And there was another incident where it was a married Jewish woman who had relations with a non-Jewish man, said the child's no good. I'm Rav Sheshet Lididi, I'm Rav Gaza, Lo Rav Yosef Rav Hava, Ela Rav Yosef Rav Zvida Hava. A number of corrections. First of all, you got the wrong Rav Yosef. It was Rav Yosef Rav Zvida. V'achshir bein bepnuya bein be'eshes ish. And having a child with a non-Jewish man, the child is kosher, whether or not she was married or not married. I'm Rav Achshir bein Rav Lo Rav Yinekle, I'm Eimer Lasrim, V'achshir bein bepnuya bein be'eshes ish. And he was machshir, whether it was whether the woman was married or not, the hilchasa. And now the Gemara concludes.
Doesn't seem.
The hilchasa havlad kasher. And the Gemara concludes that the resulting child of a non-Jewish man or an eved with a Jewish woman, the child is going to be kasher ben mibnuya ben be'eshes ish. And that would be true whether this woman was married or not married.
When they say married, it means she's not committing adultery?
Nope.
With
meaning, is there a form? Is there Is there any?
Is she married to the non-Jew, or she's married to a Jew and she's having an adulterated relationship with a non-Jew?
Right. So that's in its own discussion. I'll give you sources for that discussion. Just give me a moment. Let's just wrap this up. And that's the Gemara's conclusion. Now, what the Gemara does not say in its conclusion, the Gemara broached the subject on the Amud Aleph, but didn't conclude. The Gemara is saying kosher right now, but is not saying definitively. The halacha is the child is kosher. That's the halacha. But now let's raise the following question: child is fine. Can this child marry a kohen? That's a question. That the Gemara doesn't say. That the Gemara leaves off as the last words of the Gemara are kosher. The Rishonim do not know. The Rishonim takes sides on this issue. I'm not. You go to your Rav, but what he'll probably tell you is no. Shulchan Aruch says no. So the answer is going to be no. But that's probably going to be the answer. But the Rishonim, I'm telling you, the Rishonim themselves struggle with that question of whether or not this child can marry a Kohen. But the answer most likely is going to be no. We'll stop over here tomorrow. Rava. We'll start in the bottom of Memhei Amud Beis.